This is Coach Ken Simons of the Copper Mountain College Fighting Cacti, and you're listening to the Global Women's Sports Radio.
G here with you, Global Women's Sports Radio. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Happy to announce that Global Women's Sports Radio is now available on more platforms than ever before. That's right, you can find us on Anchor, Stitcher, Spotify, and Radio Public. Also, make sure to stop by and like us on Facebook, where you can also comment our posts and participate in our conversations and debates there. Coming up for you, great show. I'll be joined by special guest Oscar Lopez of Gridiron Beauties, the number one online source for women's gridiron and women's professional tackle football. Looking forward to talking to him about the latest with X-League, WFA, WFLA, and what's the other one that I missed? WNFC. Oscar Lopez will be here to sort it all out. Definitely looking forward to that. I'll also be joined by MPC bikini competitor Deborah Brooks. She's also a certified personal trainer. We'll get some practical workout and nutrition tips from her. All right, so if you're a fan of women's professional tackle football, whether it's a WFLA, WFA, WNFC, or X-League, go ahead and tweet me at Henry G Promo, HenryGPromo. Let me know what team it is you play for, who your favorite player and or team are. I'll go ahead and retweet that for you. All right, so coming up to get things started, special guest Deborah Brooks, MPC bikini competitor and personal trainer, right here on Global Women's Sports Radio.
My first love
will be basketball.
By the time I was 11,
I was the best player in the city.
In the county.
In the state.
People are gonna remember my name.
I'm gonna make it rain.
I'll pull up from 30.
Thread the needle.
Razzle dazzle.
Set the table.
Splash.
Break the dishes.
I'll take my team to state.
All 4 years with a 4.0.
I'll go D1.
I'll go D1, no problem.
In college, I'll be third team All-American.
First team All-American, 3 times.
2 Final Fours.
3 straight Final Fours. Back to back to back.
I'll be Big East second team.
Big East player of the year. Most points in school history, most steals in school history, most free throws, most triple doubles, and minutes played.
And I'll get drafted in the first round. My rookie contract, $4 million.
My rookie contract will be $40,000.
Henry G here with you, Global Women's Sports Radio, right now joined by my first guest. Thank you for joining me. Pleasure to have you on. Go ahead, let everyone know who you are, what you do, and also where we can find you online.
Okay. Name is Deborah Brooks, and I am a certified personal trainer and NPC competitor in the bikini division. And I can be found on Facebook at Deb K, and on Instagram at Deb_Cap.
All right, so let's start off talking a little bit about your journey. When did you first realize you wanted to compete? And then take us through the process of getting ready for your first event as well.
Okay. That was a bit of a long road. I had been into fitness for a long time and had gotten into boxing several years ago and doing boot camps when that first became the craze. It wasn't until I met my fiance that I started weightlifting. There's a little delay, so I'm hearing myself a second after, so it's confusing. But I started weightlifting about 7 years ago and developed the muscle that I have now. So it takes quite a bit of time. Once I got to this level of fitness, I would say about 2 years ago, I started contemplating competing seriously and just didn't know when to actually do it. And when you're planning something like that, you gotta consider a lot of things and make sure that, one, your body has already peaked to an athletic level, I would say. And then you just have to put the schedule and do it. Then you know that deadline. So that began here.
All right, so I'm checking out your Instagram, and again, that's Deb_Kat, K-A-T. I see you have a picture with some medals. Tell us what those were for.
Okay, that was the medals that I won. I won three categories. It's the same show in Laurel, Maryland. And I won second place in the Armed Forces Division. And I won third place in the True Novice category. That category for competitors who never competed before, and that was their first time stepping on the team. So that was third place in that. And then I placed third for masters over 40.
Wow, that's impressive. Now, due to self-distancing and the coronavirus, what are some exercises or workouts people could do in the comfort of their own home while they're pinned up in their house or apartment?
Training-wise or nutrition-wise? Training-wise, there's a lot of things around your home that you can use as training equipment if you don't have or resistance bands or resistance cable. You can use your stairs. You have stairs. You can use your furniture, like back of the couch. You have walls. And also your body weight. Your body weight is weight. So if you're doing push-ups, for instance, you can do a variation for them. It doesn't always have to be the standard push-up. You can do diamond push-ups. You can slow the tempo. You can do close grip. You can do wide grip. You can do plank. You can do wall sits up against the wall, which is basically you put yourself in a chair position as if you're sitting in a chair against a wall and you pull back. And you can time it and see how long you can hold it. It's a really good quad and ab and glute exercise. If you want to, resistance training to me is the way that I like to go. I like to keep my body under some tension. It tends to be more effective, and not only does it get your heart rate up, but it also gives you that muscle, the good muscle damage that you need in order for them to grow. Because that's what your body responds to the most.
Now, as a follow-up, I worked in the fitness industry for a long time selling gym memberships. I also sold personal training. Now, there's a lot of people who come into the gym and all they ever do is cardio. They don't really work out with weights or do resistance training. Talk about the benefits and the importance of resistance training.
Okay, the importance of resistance training is that it increases the strength of the muscles that you're using. So when you have an object that's up against the body, you are already focusing on not only just training the muscles, but also keeping, you have that resistance that's trying to pull you in another direction. So that's how you increase that tension. So it's time under tension that increases. And it also increases that stability and balance.
All right, and from Facebook, we have a question from Deanna Hightower. Shout out Deanna Hightower, played for the Chicago Bulls in the LFL. She wanted to know, I believe, some basic ab and core exercises. What do you got for her?
Okay, I did see that question. Thank you, Deanna, from Chi-Town. I recommend backing, which is a really easy but effective core strengthening exercise. And it's what's called a drawing in. It not only strengthens core, but it helps the spine as well. Vacuums you can do standing up or in the cat dog position on all fours, on your floor. And what you do is you just draw your stomach in, and you breathe all your air out. And you hold that with your food plate for like 30 seconds. And that helps strengthen your transverse abdominis. So that's my go-to as my warm-up before I even begin training. And as that becomes more effective, you can increase the that method, like by walking on a treadmill and doing vacuums at the same time, which makes it difficult because your breathing is a little bit obstructed while you're jumping in before. The other one recommended to her was a deadlift. Core exercises don't necessarily need to be crunches or high activity movements. Slow movements are very effective because of the time under tension that was previously mentioned. So the dead bug is on the floor, on your back, and your knees are pulled up to a 90-degree position. And your arms are above you as if you're reaching towards the ceiling. And you draw in the abs into the spine. Breathe out. That flattens the back to the floor because you don't want to move. So once you're in that position, you'll lower one leg and extend it out to, it's about an inch off the floor, without curving your spine. So that's a really tough core exercise, but if you do part doing, you should be really feeling that. And after you do one leg extension, you extend the other. And you repeat that for 15 or 20 reps. And then as you get more advanced, you can hold dumbbells instead of just having your body weight.
All right. Now, another issue I wanted your insight on is plateauing. So a lot of times people brand new to working out start to work out. They get really good results, start to see some really good gains. And then after that, they get to a point where they stop seeing those improvements because they either maybe continue to do the same weight all the time or the same exercises or the same amount of reps or a combination of all three all the time. So talk about the importance of switching it up, whether it's the amount of reps, the weight, or the actual workout routine as a whole.
Okay. Yeah. Your body is very, very smart, and it adapts quickly. So if you're doing new movements all the time, it's going to become less effective. And you're also not changing yourself. So if you get too comfortable where movements are just easy and you can just do them without any putting in any effort, then you're not going to get any further than where you are. Now you're just at maintenance and that's it. And that's where you're set. If you do want to continue building muscle, you need to have variation, and you need to add in drop sets, push through fatigue, and get a little rest out of your day. Go to fatigue again. It's very important. You don't always have to do, kind of reps are for more of a weight loss method than strengthening method. Hypertrophy, you want to do heavier weights but low reps, preferably like 8 to 12. So you should have a variation of a day where you have higher reps and low.
Okay,
and
now
typically, I like to work body parts three times a week.
All right, now another issue or misconception is I know people, and there's people that I go to work out with, and all they work on is abs and core. And, of course, they have the mindset that they want to get a six-pack. So all they work out is their abs, thinking that that's going to get them a six-pack. So talk about the importance of incorporating or doing a total body workout instead of just focusing on abs and core.
Right. You have an entire kinetic thing from the upper part of your body to the lower part of your body. So, as it's important to work isometrically, but at the same time, the goal is to be able to have the body work together. So, if you only focus on the abs, it's great to strengthen the core because, for one, it's in the middle of your body. You depend on the core so much, and then you have some other part of your body because it's supporting the upper part of your body and the knee. So it needs to be strong. But that's not the primary focus when you go into the gym every day. You may have some previous injuries. It all depends on what your goal is, what your current state of health is, medical history, if you have any imbalances, injuries, these things need to be addressed first. And everyone is always injured on one side or not. If you're left-handed or right-handed, you tend to use your dominant side first when you should be focusing on the weaker side, because that's the imbalance. So working on abs every day, I would do that as a warm-up, but not as a primary part of the body that I work that week.
Now, I think another issue that's problematic for a lot of people is nutrition. When you look at it, so many bad options out there when it comes to fast food or even a lot of dine-in restaurants. People feel a lot of times they don't have the time to plan out, prep, and portion all their meals ahead of time. So what would you say to them?
I would say, if you can, take the green day a week to cook your meals in bulk. Then that way you are prepared for the week if you need to bring meals with you. If you can, there is a way to, you can order online. There, Iceman Meals, there's Trifecta. These meals are already made, they ship right to you. And it's a bit expensive, but this is all done for you. And they're already in their trays, and you just pick one and go. I prefer to just take the day and make my food in bulk. And it actually doesn't take a very long time to do. You know, 3 pounds of ground turkey, maybe 6 turkey breasts, and a big pot of rice, and your veggies. You know, you can clean them really quick. store, put them in the microwave, and it takes a minute. I've been using the air fryers lately. I haven't found one in Florida. It took me a while to get one, but I'm loving roasting the veggies in there, and it cuts that time down. But when you think about it, you do have some time to set aside to do these things. I mean, if it's that important to you, there will be time to do that. Now, going out to eat, you can select the healthier option. Doesn't mean that you can't ever go out to eat. Doesn't mean that you can't have fast food. Just can't. I wouldn't recommend doing it every day. But just know to focus on picking the healthier food items. You can always make requests as well.
Henry G here with you, Global Women's Sports Radio. Special guest, MPC bikini competitor Deborah Brooks. Coming up more with her, we have a question from Twitter. Someone wants to know the best way to lose weight quickly. We'll also talk about some current trends like juicing and the role of personal trainers. Is it their job to educate the client, or is it the client's job to seek that knowledge for themselves? All that and more right here, Global Women's Sports Radio.
So, Justin, I was playing that video game Forest Brigade, and it was pretty cool. I was running down this, like, digital path, and I met this digital frog. He was all like... Then I went playing in this virtual stream where this water... It looked almost real. It was this whole electronic forest world. So what did you do?
Well, my parents took me to the forest. The real forest. Where I was running down this... Well, it was an actual path. Then I saw this real-life frog. It was all like... Ribbit, and I saw an owl too. Then I played in this amazing stream with water around my ankles, like wet water. Then me and my sister and my parents sat around a campfire and told cool stories all night long.
Oh, that's pretty cool too.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Henry G here with you, Global Women's Sports Radio. Special guest, MPC bikini competitor Deborah Brooks, and we have a question for her from Twitter. This is from Pedro in Albuquerque. He wants to know tips for losing weight in a short amount of time.
We have to create a caloric deficit. It's calories in versus calories out. Consuming less. And what you are actually consuming now. But a lot of people don't know where they are. They don't know how many calories they're currently consuming in a day. So I would recommend to anyone that wants to lose, wants to start the business program, to first track how many calories you consume per day for 1 week. So they know where they're starting from. And then try cutting those calories like 500 on a week. Then you know you're in a calorie.
Now, the next question is regarding personal training. Is it solely the job of the personal trainer to get their client the results that they're looking for, or do they also have a responsibility to educate the client and let them know how they're going to get to those goals, or is it up to the client to seek that knowledge themselves?
The trainer should always be informing their client the methods of why they're using a certain type of machine. For their, they have to be focused on the goal, the client's goal. And the client needs to understand why they're doing certain exercises or using certain things and how that relates to them achieving their goals. That way they're educated, but also they can be a team after they're not with the trainer. They're not going to always be forever. And that gives the client a very good basis of being able to maintain and go further on in your fitness goals after having some instruction with your trainer. Both are responsible for education and counsel, but the trainer, being knowledgeable, should always be explaining why and the method and the benefit to the client for them achieving that goal.
Now, when it comes to training or working out, are you the type of individual that likes to just get in your zone and knock it out by yourself? Or do you prefer going with someone, a partner, an acquaintance? That way you can spot for each other. You can also motivate and push one another. Which one is better? I guess, is it just personal preference?
I train by myself, primarily. My fiance is very into fitness. And we'll go to the gym together, but we won't stop and talk or anything until both of our training is done. I like to focus on my mind muscle condition and what I am doing with my body that day. That's where my focus is. On my training. Some people just feel a little bit more comfortable going with someone if it motivates them. And that's okay. But don't forget that if your goal is on your fitness training and your goal, that you do have to pay, that you have to pay for attention to that first. The body system is fine as support, but focus on what you're doing. Most important.
Now, also wanted to get your thoughts. It seems like every couple of years there's a new fad or trend that comes up, whether it's a workout or a diet plan. What are your thoughts on those? And if there are any that have maybe come out over the past couple of years that are effective, or do you just kind of stay away from those altogether?
I do not do any fad diets or trend diets, mainly because I don't think you should restrict yourself from eating any food. Since all foods are good foods, and they're not very sustainable. So if you deprive yourself of, say, carbs or fat, and you know you like to eat those things, eventually you're going to eat them. And once you introduce them back into your body, now it's going to hold on to it. So a lot of times, people end up on the yo-yo because of doing the restrictive diet. Unless you can maintain that long-term, you might end up on that yo-yo trend. I'm a flexible dieter. My nutrition that I have is very flexible. I don't restrict carbs. I don't restrict fat. I have pizza. I have ice cream. I just have a healthier option. I still eat the foods that I like, but I may make it myself, or I find a healthier substitute for it.
What about juicing is a big phenomenon right now, also detoxing. What are your thoughts on those?
I think there's some benefits to it. I think if you are not consuming, if you're not able to get consume the vitamins and nutrients that you would get from food, then having them in a shake form or in a juice form is fine. But you got to be careful with juices, because juices from concentrate tend to have a lot of sugar in them. So it's going to come down to really reading the label and knowing what the ingredients are and what you are putting into your body. Because you might think it's healthy, but it may have a lot of sugar, it may have a lot of sodium, and not much of the healthy benefit. I would say it's fine to get your nutrients from whole foods as much as possible, and not the shortcut.
Thank you for your time. Extremely informative. Go ahead, give us the links. Let us know where we can see what you have going on as far as competitions and events, and also interact with you for fitness advice and tips.
Okay. That's Deborah KB on Facebook or on Instagram at Deb_Kemp. You can find me there.
And what do you have coming up for 2020 or the near future that we could be looking forward to from you?
2020. Well, you know, 2020 has been crazy, you know, for everyone. Just today, we've had to change our wedding date. So that was what was coming next for us. Our wedding had to be changed from May to August now. And now we're keeping our fingers crossed we don't have to change it again. At the same time, I'm currently in training to hopefully do some competitions that are coming up in July and August. Like, with everything touch and go, don't know if that's going to be canceled either. So I'm just taking it day by day, still training, still staying the course, but, you know, everything's unpredictable right now.
And lastly, you know, preparing for this interview, I came to find out that you were in the Navy, so thank you for your service. And let us know where you were stationed, what ships you were on, or where you were at.
That's right, shipmate. Your fellow Navy sailor also. I was primarily stationed out on the West Coast. I was stationed on the USS Richmond out of Point Loma. I was stationed at the Naval Base San Diego, 32nd Street on the Drive 5. That was shore duty. And I was stationed, my last command was out in Norfolk, Virginia, on the USS Emory S. Land.
Henry G here with you. Global Women's Sports Radio. Coming up next, special guest Oscar Lopez of Gridiron Beauties, the number one online source for women's gridiron, women's professional tackle football, all that and more on the way next. Lastly, Deborah KB, thank you for taking the time out to be a part of Global Women's Sports Radio.
Thank you, Henry. Have a good one. Stay blessed.
Champions and keep winning until we not only become the best female soccer team, but the best soccer team in the world. And that a whole generation of girls and boys will go out and play and say things like, I want to be like Megan Rapinoe when I grow up. And that they'll be inspired to talk and win and stand up for themselves. And I believe that we will make our voices heard and TV shows will be talking about us every single day and not just once every 4 years. And that women will conquer more than just the soccer field, like breaking every single glass ceiling and having their faces carved on Mount Rushmore. And that we'll keep fighting not just to make history, but to change it. Forever!
Henry G here with you, Global Women's Sports Radio. Right now, joined by Oscar Lopez, the founder and creator of the number one source for women's gridiron, women's tackle football in the U.S. and internationally. Thank you for joining me. Go ahead, let everyone know where we can find you online.
Hi, Henry. Thanks for having me on. We are located on Facebook, Gridiron Beauty, on Instagram, Gridiron Beauty, as well as on Twitter, at Gridiron Beauty.
And of course, all women's sports leagues suspended until further notice, as men's sports leagues are as well. But interesting times, exciting times for women's football. You have one league rebranding. You also have another league entering the mix in 2021. So of course, now it seems like more opportunities for women to play football here in the U.S. than ever before. Your thoughts on the current state of women's football here in the U.S.?
I think given what we are going through with COVID-19, the momentum has completely stopped to a halt, just like with every major sports league. But, you know, take that away, I think we were on a very exciting moment coming up here in April. All anticipating really big things from all the leagues, including the WFLA. That's supposed to, that was supposed to launch an exhibition season to kind of give us a preview of what it's been like for 2021. The major top two leagues in terms of the traditional top leagues in the United States, the WFA and the WNFP, really on a high, big sponsorships, a lot of things happening in a positive mode for growth to give the league stability. We have Riddell, Adidas, we had K-Tape, we had Secret Deodorant for all the major ones in terms of the two major leagues. Also, X-League rebranding was something that we were looking forward to see what that was going to look like. And so at this point, everything's kind of come to a halt. A lot of the leagues are still on the 30-day, you know, stay at home based on the mandate. Most of the leagues are going to make decisions probably in the middle of May whether they're going to have a season or not, because most leagues cannot have a fall season because most men's leagues or youth tackle leagues take up most of the field that they would normally acquire. So, you know, I don't want to call it like they're going to cancel the seasons, but there's a couple leagues already in terms of the world scope, like in Australia, as well as this week, the Western Women's Canadian League up north also decided they were going to cancel the 2020 season. So a lot of decisions based on COVID-19.
Now, the team that I follow in WFA football is La Muerte de las Cruces. From what I understand, they're going to be transitioning from the WFA to the WNFC. So talk a little bit about the WNFC. Where did this league come from? And tell us some of the history behind it as well.
WNFC, a branch of the Best of the West. One of the owners, Odessa Jenkins, who was the owner of the Dallas Elite, former Dallas Elite, now Texas Elite Spartans. And she was the brainchild to bring it all together with about a group of four other individuals. And so they together have put together this business model league, which is different than what the WFA had been doing for about 8-9 years, which is a recreational model league. So the WNFC has really forged a business, true business sense model, getting Riddell on board, getting Adidas on board. That really made a difference for them. They have 20 teams altogether nationwide. The owners are all prior to coming in to make sure that they understand the vision and the branding and how they're going to go forward. So that helps a lot because it's kind of in unison. It's sort of their goal and vision is sort of to be, you know, to equal to like an NFL style mentality, which is profitability, and then eventually to a point where if they get enough sponsorship and profitability in terms of, you know, television deals arrangements, at some point down the future, you know, the players would get paid some sort of percentage in terms of to play the sport.
All right, so I definitely want to talk some X-League and WFA. First, though, I wanted to get your thoughts on Katie Sowers, of course, a very accomplished football player in her own right with the Kansas City Titans. I believe she was a quarterback, may have been a receiver as well. But your thoughts on the spotlight that she received for being the first female to coach in the Super Bowl with the Niners and just everything she's accomplished and doing for women in sports.
So, Henry, we would be remiss not to mention Lori Locus in Tampa Bay, Jennifer King in Washington with the Redskins and previously North Carolina, Callie Brunson with the Browns now, and then obviously Katie, who's gotten the most attention because of the success of San Francisco and where she's been. So Katie, a lot of WFA alumni, these are all ladies that either played in the WFA, I think with the exception of probably Lori Locus, who have coached in some format in the league. But overall, The exposure is a very positive exposure, especially during the momentum of the Super Bowl. You got to see a lot of the faces that are making strides. All this came about with the Women's Football Forum that was started by Sam Rappaport at the NFL realm. So this has played dividends, not just for these players that turn coaches, but for a lot of women that want to be in some sort of administrative position or other things that are involved in football. So it's made a big deal in terms of visibility and awareness. It also has helped, I think, the WFA in terms of branding when they're out there looking for sponsors. Now they see that these players were former athletes that played in this league. And then the tenure of the WFA has been 10 years. So the branding also has sustained itself for 10 years. So that helps also.
Right. And I think a lot of people have the misconception that these women are just getting handed opportunities with no real experience or credentials, when actually very accomplished football players in their own right. I'll talk a little bit about Jennifer King, and shout out to her. I had her on the podcast a couple weeks ago, but the first African-American female full-time coach in Washington. Talk about her career as a player.
Jennifer's really skill-setted. She's played in Carolina in the WFL. She's also played in WFA. She's played for a lot of good teams. Very successful with the Carolina team. And then obviously very successful the last season here with the DC Divas. So very impactful player. She also was at the AAF Arizona Hotshot. So she's put in her time. She's played and coached in basketball in terms of collegiate. So her resume really is built up over time. And I think she's very deserving of getting the opportunity. The relationship with the coach from Carolina at this point, Rivera, and him going to Washington is kind of just a really good fit. Sort of the same thing that Katie had with Pioli in Atlanta, and now she gets Shanahan over in San Francisco because of the relationship he had and built up there. So the benefits are there for these ladies. Ultimately, that they will tell you that they're not here just to get the limelight because they're women. They are here because they've put in their time to be coaches, and they want to be respected as coaches.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about the WFA. How many teams are there across the country, and talk about the overall level of play and some of the accomplishments of WFA football?
Coming to the season, we were all very excited for the season because the WFA has really stepped up. This is the year they stepped up even more. I think because of the competition of the WNFC coming into the picture, we have a two-competition league system now in the state that really benefits both leagues. So the WFA really has made a lot of strides in terms of sponsorship. They acquired a lot of sponsorship here. Ultimately, they've done a good job in trying to get themselves marketed even better now. So all the owners now, before more of a recreational mindset, I think a lot of owners in Division One and Division Two have now taken that next level step of true business model. They really want to make this a business sense. Some owners in WFA previously to this were really focused on, serious about their teams and their brands and getting stuff out there. Now I think it's a unified thing with the WFA coming into the 2020 season. They made a better stride in terms of in-season competition. That was one of the things that we were really excited for in the beginning of January and February. Before this whole COVID-19, it was going to be teams playing within themselves in season, within the 8-week season. Within previous seasons, you would have never seen classes. The biggest class that we were anticipating this year was, multi-time division champion Boston Renegades taking on Division II multi-time champion St. Louis Slam in the Gateway City. I hope it will happen. If it doesn't happen, that was something that was exciting. There was a couple matches on the calendars in terms of the nationwide scope of it where we were really excited to see the higher elevated of play. The restructured of Division One and Division Two in the offseason was really exciting because it brings another level of capability and athleticism to a lot of teams, and then the top teams are going to be competing against each other. Division Three really has elevated themselves to another level also, because now they're kind of chasing try to get up to an upgraded Division II. There's over 60-something teams in the WFA, and they've done a great job. Like I said, coming into the season, they had done a lot of things in the offseason that we were anticipating as very exciting. So because of COVID-19, everything's stuck to hold. But both leagues have made so much progress and excitement on the television end, the WFA was supposed to be on 11 sports, and they were going to get that game of the week mentality instead of just on a YouTube-type mentality. So that was a huge deal for them to get exposure to put the best teams out there in terms of the Division I level or Division II.
Now, in preparation for having you on, I had some football fans, women's football fans, reach out to me, and basically what they expressed is that some of the full kit leagues are a little slower tempo offenses, kind of like maybe, I guess, the Navy 90s option attack, triple option, or veer attack. So, I mean, do you feel like some of these leagues need to evolve and play a faster tempo of offense, or no?
I think, in reality, both leagues are elevating the level of, in terms of their playbook, in terms of being... The coaching has improved. So there's a lot of teams in the WFA. If you want to narrow it down, probably the best of the best is 8 teams nationwide that will be at a level of a collegiate level type of, you know, offensive scheming or defensive scheming. The rest of the teams, depending on their coaching capabilities, are going to be at a lower level. But when you're talking Boston, D.C., you're talking Pittsburgh, you're talking St. Louis, Kansas City, Arlington, Minnesota, there's a bunch of teams, Cali War, there's a bunch of teams that you can hand off about 10 teams that would be at a level of an NCAA level in terms of play and scheming and playbooking. So in reality, that is the WFA's bread and butter. On the WNFC, we're looking at maybe top 5 teams. There's 5 teams in the WNFC because the WNFC is a one tier system. There's not divisions. So you have the 5 teams that really are impactful. At the middle of the pack, and then obviously you have the expansion teams from last year and then all the included teams this year. So yeah, I mean, it's not like we're drawing a lot of fanfare that way. You know, the attendance marker that you would be measured for major sports, we don't have that. So our opportunity now is going to be monetization in terms of a social media platforming or some sort of partnerships to get more revenue, to bring the ad work so that people are aware of it, people understand that it's in their community. The attendance factor will come after, but I think we're in a different level now where both leagues understand that they got to get exposed out there with some sort of regional arrangement or some sort of coverage on television or social media monetization, like the WNFC did WNFC TV last year, which did a really good job. Like the WFA was anticipating going into bringing that platform themselves with 11 players.
Now, a couple of months ago, the LFL, which of course Legends Football League, previously the Lingerie Football League, suspended operations, and people thought they were going to maybe take a year off, see what happens with the WFLA, if the WFLA is able to fulfill all their promises and contracts to their players and then re-enter in 2021 or 2022. However, they transitioned. They're the X League now. So your thoughts on LFL transitioning to X League, the new X League?
Majority of the players from the previous branding, which is, you know, the Legends League, majority of those players, because of differences with the owner, which is Mitchell Murtaza, because of differences of direction from Legends Football League, decided that their better option was to try to hook up with Ja Rule, Lupe Rose, which run the WFLA. The FLA promised equal pay, you know, everything, plus the players will get paid. So that's their promise. At this point, we don't know how that's going to evolve. It's still in a process. They're still doing rostering, still doing ownership acquisitions. Their goal is, the announcement they made, if their goal was to do an exhibition season this year, but because of COVID-19, that has set them back. So the only information we got now is that they're anticipating a kickoff of May 5th of 2021 at the LA Coliseum. That's the only thing we know at this point, and that's their goal. So the X League rebrand was basically more of a legal status in terms of the owner having some sort of issue with legality with the Legends Football League branding and taking them to court. And so then he decided that he has to shift out. So he shifted to creating the X League. And in terms of what the legal issues he had before that. So at this point, the anticipation was the league exists no different than Legends. The only difference is the teams are renamed in different names and different types of structure in terms of business structure. So some of the players are still going to be there in the S League. The Ashley Salernos, the Phil Angels, some of the top players that were there from the last season of the Legends Football League, they're still going to be the name brand top stars that they're going to work with. They were anticipating the same thing, that no different than WFA, the WFC, in terms of the season, part of COVID-19 that set them back. They announced their rosters so far today. They announced the Austin Sound roster, so they have roster sets already. Now the question will be, we have a 30-day wait window of going to kick off the season in June. That was my understanding, is that they will do a season in June, which is one home game probably and two away games for certain teams.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what transpired last season in the LFL. Of course, Coach Hack left, so a lot of players, veterans, left Chicago as well. A lot of players went to Nashville to play for Danica Brace when Coach Michelson left Seattle. Coach Michelson did return to Seattle. His players returned with him. They won the championship, and then Dakota Hughes getting to the championship game as well. Your thoughts on overall last season in the LFL?
The change that we had for X League, the rebranding was a big change. The problem that is, Mitchell Mortaza, at some point when it was still Legends Football League, he wanted to do franchise incorporation. So the Nashville Knights were franchise incorporated. Okay, so they were a separate branch of the league. When the rebrand happened, the Knights decided that they did not want to play the same game that was played in Legends. So they put up some demands about changes in terms of how they wanted to play on the field, the coaching, how they wanted all that to happen. The same reason that Coach Pack left, the same reason Chantel Taylor left, the same reason some of the major stars left or retired or faded away, is because the Legends Football League was not evolving to a situation where you could make it a true women's arena football league with respectability. So some of those coaches had a difference of opinion between the ownership and obviously their vision of getting this 8-on-8 league to a higher level of respectability, like an arena football league mentality. So that didn't happen. Nashville decided, the ownership there plus the coaches there said, hey, we're not playing this game. You need to make changes, make a true, real upgrade. If you remember, they were going to leggings at some point. They were upgrading their uniforms, they were evolving in that sense, and then he went ahead and retracted himself back before the Legends brand was obviously dissolved. And so the same issue lies here. It's just no different, and a lot of the players just felt that he wasn't willing to make those changes. The coaches decided that they had wasted so much time on it, and so they didn't want to continue and support it. So Mitchell's got, you know, a situation where he's got to either be evolving at this point with the sport, or he's going to go back to, you know, the eye candy mentality that has kept him in place for so long. I don't know where he stands at this point, given COVID-19, how much money he's going to lose at this point within this season, whether he has a season or not. Maybe he's going to revisit that and things are changes. He even offered that, you know, any loyal player would get some sort of equity, which in my view, that's kind of just, I don't even know what you say to that, because if you're going to be committing to it, you don't even have a players association. So, I mean, it's not right, but in reality, that's where they stand right now.
All right, I'd like to also get your thoughts on the new WFLA. Of course, they are claiming that they're going to empower women. They want to pay women big multi-million-dollar, multi-year contracts as well. However, with them not even putting a product out on the field till 2021, I mean, is it fair to be a little bit skeptical?
My understanding is that the WFLA is, you know, they want the players to get paid. So their model is not a traditional football model. Like we would, okay, you know, the football structure first, the coaches, the sponsorships, the, you know, the gear, the helmeting, and everything else. The way they're going about it is basically in a different model. So that's my understanding from ownership. Okay, so they're getting funding. They're getting owners that are real serious. Most of them are in the entertainment business, the entertainment concert business type mentality. They got big relationships or networking. So that's one of the ways that they are trying to like entice and get to that next level. They also, from what we're told by ownership, is that they're trying to acquire certain types of reality show or types of networking to work with them to kind of expose their players that they're going to put on rosters. So the traditional model that, you know, the other tackle leagues have followed, this is a totally different model. from, you know, what the ownership and the WFLA is telling us. So it's a matter of just waiting to see how they are going to, you know, get to the next level, which is to set up the league and the kickoff and the season. We were, you know, anticipating an exhibition season, but from the sources that I'm getting and people that I'm talking to and some of the players that are in the league, at this point, there's no definite answer in terms of, you know, structure or business model. So all we know is that the ownership owns a beverage company. We knew that at some point they were going to try to do an IPO in the market in COVID-19, that changed. So we don't have that in terms of a solid foundation going forward. They're going to be doing virtual camps from what we were told. They're going to try to get, you know, some of the best players in the regionals and then hook them up in about 32 teams. At this point, there's probably only 6 teams that are actually in place. So they have almost 18 months to get ready to get that May 5th, you know, kickoff date, which is supposed to be LA Flames against Dallas Diamonds at the LA Coliseum.
All right, so tell us a little bit about you. How long have you been doing this, and how did you initially get your start when it comes to women's gridiron and women's tackle football?
Well, the gridiron breed branding was something that we started when the LFL took shape in about 2009-2010. It became basically a legend lingerie football league page initially. Then I got introduced and invited onto a podcast with BJ Coletta, Women's Talk. And so right after that, I got introduced to women's tackle football. Then we sat down and kind of realized that there's just a lot of women's tackle football leagues that were not being exposed or brought to light. And so we went from covering exclusively Legends Football League at this point, and we went into women's tackle. We've been doing it for probably almost 10, 12 years now in terms of the bringing attention to the sport. We wanted to do an ESPN type of page, which we do. We build up a network of people that are really passionate about covering women's tackle football news and media and print in their region, which is their country, or depending on where they're at internationally. We've been able to build up a lot of relationships from the branding of Gridiron Beauties on social media. Then we branched out into our own apparel company, which is the No Joke Football brand, powered by Zazzle.com. And so we've been doing the branding for almost another, 10 years now, going on 10 years, 9 years of the branding. The branding really supports us to spotlight talented athletes in the women's American football realm and bring attention to their teams themselves and just bring the attention that women do play American football and their game is No Joke Football, and that's what our brand stands for.
Who are some athletes currently sponsored by your brand or that you've sponsored in the past?
So we try to look for the best players in terms of leagues. We try to look for top influencers in terms of social media. There's a lot of metrics that we look at. And so currently we do have WFA players, some WFLA future players, and we have some X-League players, as well as players overseas. So we have a lot of players in Australia, Mexico, all around Europe, in the United States. So we have, Lexi Demio of WFA, Anna Garza of X-League, Stacey Jackman of X-League, Sasha Cruz of the WFA, Dallas Mustangs, Phoebe Sketcher of the Birmingham Lions. We also have Donna Sykes of the LA Bobcats, Alu Sapatsky, Sophia Vinson, and then we also brought in Deb Rodriguez from Mexico out of Lexa and La Fai. And then Tanya Blaze, the top running back in the WFA last year, 2019. Anna Budanina of Russia. And then we also have Lauren Evans, Chris Moran, which is our original No Joke Football athlete from Australia, along with Amanda Ewers. So we got over 22 No Joke Football athletes that we support and promote. And that brings attention to the sport and it brings attention to their leagues. So we're really proud of them as influencers to bring attention to women's American football. Allows us to use our hashtag on all social media, especially on Instagram. Our hashtag has been huge with the hashtag No Joke Football. So we're really proud of everybody. And we had our biggest sales month this last month in terms of March. And so, it was really great to see that and evolve. So our branding really is to bring attention to the sport and bring the next level of awareness to women's American tackle football.
And I know women's gridiron is huge internationally. Is it biggest here in the U.S.? Give us like a top five list of where it's the most popular globally.
So if we're going to give top five, we definitely have to start North America. North America is probably the hub. So from Mexico, America, and Canada. So those are that's the top three in terms of level of play. If you go to in the International Football International Federation of American Football stats, the United States, Canada, and then you have Mexico as the top three best national squads in the world. So there you go, North America being the top three. Then as we go into the international realm, we would have to go to Australia next. Australia is probably the biggest hotbed in terms of women's American football. Then right after that, we would go to Finland, Sweden, and the UK. Right after that, it would have to be somewhere else in Germany and Czech Republic. So there's a lot of exposure on the international level and a lot of growth as well.
And tell us about your podcast, how long you've been doing it, and where can we find you?
So our podcast has been on for almost 8 years, and it's powered by Block Talk Radio. Now we're on the biggest platforms in terms of listenership, which is iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And we have a lot of subscribers building up. Over 22,000 fanatics listening to us on the podcast. We cover everything exclusively, NFL weekly news and notes. Cover anything to do with American football, traditional men. And then we draw in the crowd from that to bring attention to women's American football. And we cover everything from women's news and notes, events, interview the top players in the WFA, CFL, LECFA, Mexico, LaFi, FFL, anybody in the States in some WNFC, XFL, or IWFA. So we try to bring in all the movers and shakers, the top teams that people should be made aware of, the top athletes that need to be spotlighted, with my co-host, Mackenzie Brooks. We have Troy Wilson before that. We also have Nate Ward. And then we have co-hosts that rotate as Paulie Testis. And those are also former players that play in the American League. So it's really been successful for us.
The WFA acquired Secret as a sponsor, right? Talk about the significance of that. And also, do you think more brands will come forward and start to sponsor women's sports and women's football?
I think if you can acquire the major branding, it really helps when you have Katie Sowers. It really helps you have Callie Branson. It really helps that you got Jennifer King and Lori Locus in the NFL scope of things. I think it really supports when you go pitch a sponsor that these former alumni, you know, players are now in the NFL, and this is a real sport. This is where they were grown at. So it has helped them to acquire the major sponsors to get them, you know, either equipment supplies, either get them something to protect their players on the field. You know, Super Deodorant is going to be sponsoring them for the season. They were going to do these championship sponsorship in Denver, so that really helps them. So the branding in terms of the WFA ownership, they have really stepped it up and entice the major brands to come on board and support the sport. We still have a long ways to go, Henry. You know that. Women's sports is really hard for people to, you know, donate to or to sponsor. So you really have to have the right pitch. Got to have some backing. Like the WFA now has visibility with the fact that those players in the NFL and their coaches in the NFL with major teams. So they give them really good, legit reasons for a sponsor to come on and support the sport.
And your thoughts on Leilani Lopez, one of the cornerstone players for the WFLA. Your thoughts on her game?
Leilani Lopez, in terms of field production, is probably the best player that Austin had in terms of a weapon. I think New York is going to benefit from that. I don't know how she'll do in an 11-on-11 style of play. She's always played, you know, 7-on-7 or 8-on-8, which in the 7-on-7, 8-on-8 realm, a superstar. So we will see how exciting it is once she hits the field on an 11-on-11 scale football field with the New York Stars of the WFLA. But, you know, in terms of talent and in terms of, like, you know, her mobility capabilities and everything else, I mean, she's an amazing, amazing athlete. She's very, very successful in terms of the IWFA and Texas with various teams.
Anything we didn't have an opportunity to cover that you want to say here on Global Women's Sports Radio?
I want to just tell fans that they're missing out on amazing athletic women playing women's tackle football, whether it be in the X League or traditional women's tackle football. We were very excited for the 2020 season in terms of the Women's Football Alliance season, as well as the Women's National Football Conference season. So because of COVID-19, things have changed. But we welcome everybody to go to our Facebook page, of Gridiron Beauties, and check it out. You can get made aware of everything that's happening in the sport, and you're going to be very enlightened in terms of how many women play tackle football and how many leagues there are. So we welcome everybody to our branding.
All right, so I know about Jennifer King in Washington with the Redskins, also Katie Sowers in San Francisco. Give us a list one more time of the women coaching in the NFL.
So we have Lori Lopez, who played, coached in the outdoor games, both arena games, and now she's over in Tampa Bay. Very, very good coach, very disciplined coach, and that's the reason probably Bruce Arians brought her to his staff. She made a very good impact. She even made an impact in AAF in terms of the Birmingham Iron. And then you have Jennifer King, like I said, previous all-star in terms of the IWFL and then WFA success. And she's had really good rapport with Coach Rivera in Carolina with the Panthers. And then she went to the Hot Shots in AAF. And now she's obviously on the Washington Redskins. We'll see how impactful she is. Callie Brenson shifting from, Dartmouth over to Buffalo. And now we're going to see what she's able to help the Browns with in terms of elevating their branding and their game and get their players back on board and see if maybe they have a Buffalo-type season in that sense. And then you have Katie, of course, we already know what she's all about, and she's been very successful in San Francisco the last couple seasons, so I'm pretty sure that'll continue.
Oscar Lopez, thank you for joining me. Pleasure to have you on. One more time, give us the links. Where can we go for the latest in women's tackle football?
Like I said, I invite everybody to go to our page. Like our page, follow our page at Gridiron Beauties, and you get to be aware of all the amazing athletes that play women's tackle football internationally as well as domestically. So come join us on Facebook at Gridiron Beauties and on Instagram at Gridiron Beauties.
There's a place not so far away, a place where you don't have to keep the volume down or clean up your room. A place where you don't have to make time for free time. You don't have to do anything but show up. You'll find all sorts of creatures in this place without have to. The silly you. The proud you. You may even meet the curious you. There are lots of views to catch up with. Ask your parents to take you to this not so far away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org.